Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, this is Dr. Kate with Revolution Radio, and I'm really glad you're here this evening. We have another great show online. I just wanted to start the show out with my quote from John F. Kennedy. It was in his inaugural speech that he made this quote: "Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable." And in another couple of shows, I will probably just play JFK's speech. But this evening, I'd like to get right down to business because we're continuing our discussion of election fraud with JBJD, who's just done a terrific amount of work. I'm getting her on the line right now. Hopefully she'll be there. But without any further ado, remember we are talking about the election process last year, what was happening with the delegates and so forth. And since I am not very familiar with the subject and I can't wait to hear JBJD, hi JBJD, welcome.
Is this you?
Yes, it is.
Okay, because I was disconnected and I recalled, so okay.
Oh, listen, if you happen to hear You are now in the host queue. Don't worry about it. We can still hear you.
Oh, for goodness sake.
I had just muted you. Sorry about that. Okay. Anyway, please, welcome. Welcome. And let's just start. Where would you like to start?
Okay. Where I wanted to start was to sort of summarize what we talked about last week. One of the comments that I received is that I assume that everybody is as fascinated with the process as I am, but the process can be very boring. So I realized I need to cut out a little bit of my investigation process, because you're not as concerned as how I got to where I got as knowing how to fix things. So I'm going to summarize what we discussed last week, and I want to start by correcting something I said last week. Last week, I made a point of saying that all of this fraud in the generic sense, all of this caucus fraud and the skewed press reports, all of this stuff, the Rules and Bylaws Committee meeting, all of this stuff that we were observing, those of us who'd never seen this before, I said last week that up to this point, the Democratic Party hadn't broken any laws. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they were just operating their clubs the way they wanted to operate their club. And we as citizens don't have a constitutional right to draft a particular political party candidate to run for president. That's not one of our constitutional rights. So just because we thought that we were blocked from making that determination under the Democratic Party rules, just because we thought our voices weren't heard, or in the case of Michigan, for goodness sake, actual votes weren't counted. I mean, they actually took votes that were cast for Hillary Clinton and somehow determined that the fair reflection, which are words right out of the DNC charter, the fair reflection of what the voters intended was to vote for Barack Obama, even though they explicitly voted for Hillary Clinton. You know, I couldn't help but think this is like what Barack Obama did when he was a state senator, that he thought he was casting his vote yay, and it was actually nay. Remember that? So it was oh yes, well, we assume that his voters do the same thing. They accidentally voted for Hillary Clinton when they intended to vote for him.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw all of these things happen. But I said that didn't implicate a state right. Now, I did mention something about the state of Texas. I said in Texas, a constitutional right might have been implicated in this way. When the Democratic National Committee met a couple of years ago to determine the delegate allocation in the states, they got to Texas. And they allocated the delegates, so many delegates for this district, so many delegates for this district. As it turns out, the Democratic Party allocated too many delegates to black districts and not enough delegates to Latino districts, according to the suit that's been filed by LULAC and other co-plaintiffs. Okay? So in Texas, the Democratic Party might have violated certain laws, civil rights laws, in their delegate allocation. And this is important when I get to the end of this summary. I'm going to bring this up again. Just don't forget to remind me about Texas, okay?
Okay.
So they could have violated that law. Now,
The Democratic Party.
Exactly. In their allocation of the delegates, so that when you voted in the primaries and the caucuses, you're electing so many pledged delegates. Well, this meeting a couple of years ago determined how many delegates will be assigned to each district. And the formula that the Democrats came up with, according to LULAC and their co-defendants, violates the Constitution, violates equal protection. Now, we already knew, those of us who followed this, and I also learned that, of course, a lot of people hearing me now hadn't followed the primary or hadn't breathed, you know, slept, ate it like we did. In the caucuses in Texas and the other caucus states, but especially Texas, let's just stick to Texas because this is a great state for a variety of reasons. But in Texas, they had the primaries during the day and the caucuses at night. People who voted in the primaries in the day were expected to vote in the caucuses at night. For those of you who don't know the history of this, it's worth just mentioning that a lot of people who support Hillary Clinton can't make it to caucuses. They were blue-collar workers. They were shift workers. They worked second shift when the caucuses were held. Or they were women who were taking care of children, so they couldn't come at night. Or they were elderly, so they couldn't come at night. Or they couldn't stand around for hours and hours, and there weren't accommodations made for those people as there would have been during the primary. So if you couldn't literally fight your way into an overcrowded, overheated hall with no order at all and stay there up to several hours, then you wouldn't vote in the caucus. And as it turned out, the voting results for the primary were overwhelmingly in favor of Hillary Clinton, and the caucus, the vote results for the caucuses were overwhelmingly in favor of Barack Obama. And as it turns out, and there have been several of these analyses on the internet, it's a fascinating search. But if you're interested, look this up. Look up the Texas two-step, which is what they call the primary slash caucus process. And there's been a lot of work done that says, for example, for one pledged delegate that Hillary Clinton received from the Texas primary, she needed these number of votes. But for one pledged delegate that Obama received in the caucus, he needed half of those votes. So his delegates were worth more than hers. But you can look all this up. At any rate, so it was the Texas, so the caucuses happened in February. We mentioned there was fraud in the caucuses, except for the delegate allocation process. Nothing that was done violated the law. If they bust in Acorn people, if they change signatures, so what? Do you see? The Democrats agreed mm-hmm. with the Democrats. Sorry.
No, you go ahead. I was just talking.
No, it's the members of the Democratic Party who agreed to this process, agreed to the process. And the Democrats who joined the party agreed to the process. Do you see what I mean? It's
mm-hmm.
club rules. If you didn't like the club rules, you should have changed them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But you agreed to vote in the Democratic primary, and so you agreed to abide by these rules. So you really can't complain. They didn't break the law. Again, setting aside now how they're going to allocate how many delegates go to each district. Okay. You go all the way up to the Rules and Bylaws Committee meeting. They did not break any laws. Sure, they violated their charter. Give me a break. I mean,
it's
how
the
they said that
the
was
club.
Straight
they
face.
Can do it.
The club. It's their club. It's mm-hmm. their club. Absolutely. And this was what was so frustrating, because it hadn't quite hit me yet. But now, when Hillary Clinton suspended her campaign in the very beginning of January, all right? Now,
mm-hmm.
what happened after that did break the law. And that's where we talked about Obama's people harassing Hillary Clinton pledged delegates in vote-binding states. That's against the law, all right?
I want that to sink in.
Yep.
Obama's
okay.
people. Let's have
yep.
that sink in again, because basically Obama's people, after all of this happened,
yep.
they knew they were still in trouble, and they had to pressure the delegates in vote-binding states, and that's where you say the law began to be broken.
I am so glad you said that, because you hit on the whole focus of this and why finding out about the Texas lawsuit made a difference to me. Okay? When I posted on my blog, oh goodness, maybe it was August, Treason 1 and Treason 2, which mm-hmm. essentially summarized the whole process. All right. I mentioned the fact, and I also put it into these election fraud complaints because I think it's a pivotal fact, that Howard Dean appointed Nancy Pelosi to chair the convention back in 2007. Okay? That was done for a purpose. So was the misallocation of delegates. The decision to install Barack Obama into the White House was made long before the convention. And the only reason the Democrats had to escalate their fraud was because Hillary Clinton wouldn't drop out. They didn't nail the nomination by rigging the caucus states. They didn't nail the nomination by spreading the meme in the press they owned to say she has no chance of winning. They didn't nail the nomination when they literally stole votes from her. Stole pledged delegate votes from her at the Rules and Bylaws Committee meeting. They still hadn't nailed the nomination for Barack Obama. And they never would have done something as blatant as what they did on May 31st if she wasn't in the race, obviously. You're not going to steal pledged delegates with some convoluted justification that, given a chance, people would have what? These are not stupid people. These are nasty people. Because they know there's nothing that we can do about this, and that's just mean. That's just mean. You know, enough about, you know, the country is the people, and you're willing to do that to people. That's really it's an intrinsic meanness that I have difficulty grasping. Do you know what I mean?
I do, and if you would just indulge me a little bit, I just want to go back to a couple of things. To be clear, that
yes.
the Texas primary, this is where Hillary won the popular vote, but lost the delegate vote.
Oh, that happened a lot, actually. Yeah.
Okay. Now, what you're saying is in Texas, and correct me if I'm wrong. Obviously, I'm just trying to get this down. But what you're saying is in Texas, basically the DNC. Violated its charter by misallocating delegates, by putting more delegates in black districts than Hispanic districts.
Okay, no. And
is that the violation of the rules?
No. Violating their charter was the
problem. Or their charter. I mean their charter.
Yeah. No, violating their rules wasn't the problem. The problem is the Federal Voting Rights Act.
They
could have violated a federal law.
Right.
Which was implemented so as to give disparate populations an equal vote. So if this suit, and this suit has now been certified to go through, the federal court, a 3-judge panel, looked at this and said, this is a valid lawsuit, it's going forward.
Who's the suit against?
The Democratic Party in the state of Texas.
Sir. Very good. Sorry, I'm just getting I'm just doing a little map here. So
no,
thank
this is,
you.
This
okay,
is,
go ahead.
No, but this is great. This is great because your listeners have the same questions you do. So this is
cool.
Great. This is so the lawsuit brought by LULAC and with all due respect to their co-plaintiffs, I don't recall them, but they brought it against the Texas Democratic Party and the state of Texas. For carrying out the primary caucus, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. Now, I don't want to. Texas is a very important state, and I want to drop it for just a minute.
Good, please.
And I want to come back to it because I don't want to lose. All right. The important point, which is what you the issue you raised, is the Democrats only did what they had to do to win. The nomination for Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
They planned it when they misallocated delegates. They planned it when they appointed Nancy Pelosi to be the chair of the convention. They planned it when they rigged the caucuses with Acorn and everybody else. This was all well planned. If everything had gone according to plan, Hillary Clinton would have dropped out after Super Tuesday. But she didn't. And that compelled the Democrats to up the ante and to raise the abuse. Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
They never would have done the horrible things they did. Who would do such things? They had to win this nomination. It was planned. How could they not carry out their plan? Now, what got in the way, besides the fact that Hillary Clinton wouldn't drop out, didn't drop out, is this. Vote-binding states. Now, as we know, in most states, the party does whatever it wants. You want to participate in choosing the party candidate? Fine. Register to the party, vote in the primary, and you can participate. And you can't complain about how they choose their nominee. You're part of the club. However, some states said, we are the state, we're the government, not you, private political party. If you want to run your party primary in our state, we want to assure our citizens that their votes mean something. We don't care about these party rules, whatever. So they enacted state laws that said, if you are elected in a party primary to be a pledged delegate for one of the candidates, then you must, not may, you must vote for that candidate on the floor of the convention. Now, I actually posted on my website now, it's not the neatest, but it's there on the front page. I posted a little blurb about vote-binding states. I also posted the 13 letters I wrote to the ASG in those states to say Obama is harassing Clinton delegates in your state and you're a vote-binding state, as you well know, and here are examples of the harassment, and by so doing, he's enticing them to break the law. And I would assume that now that I'm telling you this, you'll put a stop to it. Of course, it wasn't sent for me. It had to be sent by citizens of that state. Okay, so those letters and the brief summary of the vote-binding states, what that means, is on the front page of the blog. Now, let me tell you, because I think this is important, why I knew that was important. Because Governor Ed Rendell said on Fox in August, there's no such thing as vote-binding states. Excuse me, he didn't use the term vote-binding. He said, there's no such thing as a pledged delegate. He said, the party used to have rules called robot rules. And as I said, that was the rule that said, if you are a pledged delegate, then by all means, you must vote for that candidate on the floor of the convention. But the party got rid of that rule. And now they have a rule that says, use your, quote, good conscience, quote. Okay. But some states said that's not good enough. You don't use your good conscience. You vote for the person the voters told you to vote for. Case closed. When a governor of Ed Rendell's stature in the party goes on the news and says there's no such thing as a pledged delegate, when they're all, you mean to tell me he didn't know? And how come I didn't hear Tim Kaine from Virginia, governor of Virginia, who's now the chair of the party, Virginia's a vote-binding state. I never heard him on TV saying there are pledged delegates. I never heard even Governor Schwarzenegger in California. I didn't hear any of these people pressing the fact that there are vote-binding states. And then the only person I did hear, and this was important to me, was Howard Wolfson a week after Rendell. After I'm furiously getting out these letters, there are vote-binding states. And Howard Wolfson was on Fox saying, actually, there is such a thing as a pledged delegate because some states enacted laws. I thought, thank goodness. Now, why would Howard Wolfson do that? Clearly, He knew something we didn't know. All right? And I think that showed his loyalty to Hillary Clinton, I must tell you. Because what happened? How do we know the vote-binding states were important? I'll give you the answer first and then I'll explain. We know the vote-binding states were critical to stealing the nomination because there was no roll call vote on the floor of the convention. That's how we know. Now, what does that mean? Well, obviously, it doesn't take a rocket scientist. No offense to rocket scientists. I hate saying that because Einstein was one of my heroes, and when I say, well, you don't have to be a rocket, he's not a rocket, well, yeah, maybe he is a rocket scientist, but...
In a different kind.
but use your common sense, right? If Barack Obama has the votes sewn up on the floor of the convention, and remember, we already knew that neither candidate met the threshold to sew up the nomination. It was going to take superdelegates anyway. But if he had so many more votes than her, even allowing for the stolen pledged delegates, if he would have beaten her on the floor, why wasn't there a vote on the floor?
They were afraid.
Afraid of what?
Right? Wouldn't they? They were afraid she was going to win. So please tell the story, because I'm very anxious.
Yes, and I think, literally, I was asking you because I don't know. The only thing that makes sense to me, and this is pure speculation, but it meant something to me. Common sense said to, what?
I'm sorry, go ahead. I just posted your link on your front page.
Oh, thank you.
But California and Virginia are vote-binding states, and California clearly is where Clinton won, and also
yes.
Is Massachusetts a vote-binding state.
Yes, but in Massachusetts, aha, you had something in Massachusetts you didn't have anywhere else, and that was David Axelrod's first try. Deval Patrick. That was his protege before he stepped up his game to Barack Obama.
That's right.
When he saw he could do it in Massachusetts, he knew he could do it in the country. Good for you, David Axelrod. Good for you.
Okay, so definitely we have California and Virginia. Go ahead,
yes.
Sorry.
And Massachusetts, but I'm agreeing with you that it would only make sense that you were afraid to have a floor roll call vote. Why would you be afraid? Well, maybe because you thought you'd lose. Or maybe because you thought when all of these vote-binding states vote for Hillary Clinton, and people watching this who don't know about vote-binding states see that she has all of this support, maybe they'll start questioning why on earth you've been telling them since February that she lost. Why the press kept reporting she has no chance. Do you see? Maybe they'll start questioning everything you've been doing. So it could have been that they thought they'd lose or they thought they would risk exposure because the vote-binding states would have voted for her. They have to, the ones she won. And she didn't win Virginia, but she surely won California, and she certainly slaughtered BO in Massachusetts. And yet on the floor of the – you got it, but on the floor of the convention – they did vote, and they gave more than half of their votes to Obama. And Hillary Clinton hadn't released her delegates. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But there's no provision in the law to prosecute, that I could find, to prosecute pledged delegates who changed their vote without authorization. Now, maybe some states have those laws. Looking up who had the laws in the first place was all I could do, all right? So I don't know what the punishment is, but I couldn't find any sanctions against these people, all right? But here's the thing. Because of efforts from a lot of us, we finally convinced the DNC to hold some kind of floor vote, all right? And I'm telling you, it was like pulling teeth. Oh, yes, no, we're going to give her a vote, however they phrased it. It wasn't the specific, like when you said before, that you notified your Secretary of State you had concerns about the qualifications of this man to get on the ballot. I said, well, technically you needed to say, I'm filing a challenge.
Yes.
I mean, that's what this was like. That's what this was like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but anyway, so we had to know the language to call the DNC to say, don't treat us like we're stupid. I actually at one point talked to a person live, and I said, may I just say something to you, sir? I'm an attorney, so please stop talking to me like I'm stupid. Now, I'm not saying that just because you're an attorney you're smart, but don't presume I'm stupid.
Yes.
I
have to just go back
yes.
just a little bit
sure.
to ask you this.
Sure.
If I can remember this question here. So, correct my memory. Did Hillary ever, quote, release her delegates?
I'm not sure.
And even if she did, she really couldn't because of the pledge delegates.
Well, now, see, at a certain point, I don't know how much happened behind the scenes. And I'm still trying to get more information. If people have information about what happened at the convention, you should just throw it at me, and I figure out what I need. What she did on the air was to say, I recommend that all of my delegates now cast. She was the one who said it, who got her delegates to vote for Obama, and they canceled. They stopped the vote at that point. They allowed a few states to vote, and then they stopped the vote. It was a partial vote, and she put a stop to it. It's not about her. And you asked me in what states couldn't the pledged delegates change their vote. I think Oklahoma is one. It's either the first three rounds they have to keep the vote. There are a couple that say two rounds. But clearly not having a floor roll call vote was an anomaly in the Democratic Party. But if you recall, the other thing they did is they had the California delegates, vote-binding state, won by Hillary Clinton, they had the California delegates vote from their hotel rooms, as they did with a lot of other states, but they had them vote before all of the California delegates had arrived in Denver. When I say they, I should say Nancy Pelosi, because this was her ball game. She was in charge of this, okay? She forced the vote. That's her job as the chair of the convention. That was her job all the way up to the convention. Okay, so she forced a hotel room vote. You can imagine how honest that vote was. The mere fact that it wasn't in public tells you it's dishonest. I don't care what else you want to say, and I don't like speculating, but the fact that it's not open, by definition to me, is hidden, cloaked. For what purpose? I don't know. The default goes to me. I get to say that you did something underhanded. You explain how it was fair to do a hotel vote before the delegates got there, but at any rate, so you see what I'm saying is that ultimately the only way they could steal the nomination was to suppress votes from pledged delegates from vote-binding states. All right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So just
My
before
goodness.
The... It's,
Go
it's
ahead.
Is that horrible? Well, they kept
it is.
Ratcheting.
Well, I'm just exclaiming, and I'm sorry. I keep interrupting.
No, it's horrible.
And, you know.
When you think of it, though, it makes perfect sense. They kept ratcheting up. And the more they can't nail the nomination for him, the more they're going to have to ratchet up. And they're already looking shady. Do you see?
Okay, so then what, before we, you know, start moving into the,
yep.
the more details of the memorandums and so forth, so what did we see on TV? We did not see a floor vote then.
No.
We saw a manipulated,
yep.
we saw sort of a different states, you know, voting, and then Hillary being up there forced to, you know,
yep.
concede or whatever.
Yep.
So that's what
Never
we saw.
Thought,
we
yep.
saw just a game, a play.
Yes. Yep. Well, as D2I mentioned last week, and I haven't checked the fact, but it's easy to confirm. they started work on the Pepsi Center 2 weeks before. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then, I guess that kind of tells you they were determined that he was going to take this nomination.
That's right, because they had the big rock star party after the thing in a different venue. But now let me, before, again, we go on, I want to drag you all the way back. I'm very sorry.
No.
This is, okay, so what we're really saying is that sometime, maybe even before 2006, somebody decided that it was going to be Obama. And you suggested that basically Dean appointed Pelosi for a reason. I agree. And that if, you know, I guess the question really is why did Hillary stay in? If the decision was made long ago, was she aware of it? And
I kind of,
you know, I'm not
that.
Trying to blame Hillary or anything, but why did she stay in? And do you think she knew this
I can't answer that. I don't get into people's heads. I can't answer that. I have no idea. I wouldn't even speculate. All I know is that she did. And that made a problem. When I say that people were determined that Barack Obama would get in, I say that because of the steps they took in advance. And why did Nancy Pelosi have to be the chair of the 2008 convention? Why did she have to be the chair? That's a rhetorical question because I have the answer. You want to know the answer?
I, of course, want to know the answer. I'm like sitting on the edge of my chair, for heaven's sake.
So that she could sign the certifications of nomination.
Certification.
You got it.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so what we have going up here right now is we have a direct suppression of the pledged delegates from vote-binding states.
Yep.
Again, let me repeat that. Suppression of the pledged delegates from vote-binding states and the manipulation of the vote on the floor of the convention and doing such shenanigans as having California vote before everybody was there.
And really, anyone could have done that. Howard Dean, if he'd been the chair of the convention, could have, you know, anyone could have done that up to that point. But why did you need somebody, the Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives, third in line of presidential succession, why did you need somebody with that gravitas to chair a political convention? I checked back, and I think in the last 20 years, 25 years maybe, there was one other time they had the Speaker of the House. But why did they need Nancy Pelosi this time? With everything else that was going on, why did they need her? Because they needed somebody with that gravitas to sign the certification of nomination. Because the issue wasn't making him the president because he would be a good president. The issue was making him the president because we want him to be the president for whatever reason we want him to be the president. It wasn't about him. He's just a guy. They could have picked anybody. They picked him. Well, he was black, so that counted. But, I mean, he fit what they needed to get him into office, but it wasn't about him. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
It's about Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi and all the other players. But the point
is... All the other stuff, yes.
You got it. But why do they need Nancy Pelosi? Because somebody has to get Barack Obama's name on the ballots in the states.
And somebody that they wouldn't question in terms
you
of
got
veracity.
It. Oh. You got it. Who's going to question?
Although we all know Pelosi is Pinocchio Pelosi. But anyway, sorry, go ahead. Another story.
Yes, because you know that I don't call names.
Okay, I do.
So that's you.
Yes.
Yeah, that's you. That's so funny. Yeah, well, but the point is, of course that's why they used her. Who could imagine? Now, let me just bring up one thing before the convention. Everything I was working on was about the next crisis, the next crisis, the next crisis.
Hmm.
So, in other words, I was working on keeping her in the primary, not dropping out. Then I was trying to get the Rules and Bylaws Committee meeting to do the right thing. And then it was trying to keep the vote-binding state delegates protected. You know, so it was always the next thing. But and then it was trying to get a floor vote at the convention. Mm. But just in case she lost, I told people, well, there's still a way to prevent him from getting on the ballot, and that is file a ballot challenge. Something interesting, you know, this again is history, but my epiphany, my eureka moment was 3 a.m., literally. And I posted on No Quarter at 3 a.m. And do you know at 8 o'clock that morning on TD, Judah Benjamin posted the same thing?
Really?
And I wrote to him and I said, okay, wait a second. This is only 5 hours. You couldn't let me hold on to my news for five, you know what I mean? And it's 3 a.m. I posted this. People haven't even read it yet. You know, you get what I'm saying, Kate?
I do.
So he said, oh, well, I guess great minds think alike. And I didn't mean to copy your, okay, whatever. At any rate.
Oh, I'm so sorry this has happened to you. Anyway, I mean, let's continue, but...
No, but this was my epiphany, that the way to keep him out of the White House is keep him off the ballot. How silly. Mm-hmm. File challenges to having his name on the ballot, because some states say that you have to be qualified to be on the ballot. So if you think he's not qualified...
What states are those?
The same states we're doing now. Texas.
Well, for our listeners. So Arizona. Arizona, Massachusetts.
No, sorry.
I've got them all.
You know what you're confusing is the vote-binding states.
Yes. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
He's interrupting, trying to make things clear, and I'm making it worse.
No. But it's very confusing. This didn't come to me overnight. All right? Well, it kind of did, but then I had to do the research. There are 13 vote-binding states. All that means is in 13 of our states, they passed laws to say that a pledged delegate in a political party primary is really a pledged delegate at the convention.
Okay.
So there are 13 of those states. Now, there are also many states, and I've only identified 6 of them. Well, I say I have, but I've asked people to read the laws in their state and bring them back to me, and I'll let them know. And if they can't do that, well, then, you know what? It doesn't matter whether they're governed by a benevolent dictator or a tyrannical dictator. If they can't empower themselves, then I don't know what I can do for them. But the point is, the 6 states we've already identified that have laws that say in order to be on the ballot, the candidate has to be qualified, are Virginia, Maryland, Texas, Hawaii, Georgia, and who's the other state?
South Carolina.
Oh, please, thank you. How could I forget South Carolina? Yes, so those are the ones. Yeah, those are the ones we've identified.
So go ahead.
That if he gets the nomination, find out if you can file ballot challenges in the states. But that was kind of a last-minute thing, and I guess it didn't happen. Because he wasn't knocked off the ballot in any state, right?
Right. So that was your next step, is to say, okay, write to your Secretary of State. Would that have been the place, the ballot challenge?
Except that, again, that was a long shot, because even in a state like Georgia, which says the candidate must be qualified and allows ballot challenges, it's the discretion of the Secretary of State whether to entertain the challenge.
Okay.
Discretion. And if you grasp this concept, if the legislature did not put into the actual words of the law that this is the job of this Secretary of State, then the judicial branch will not overstep the separation of powers to order the executive branch who's the Secretary of State, to do something. We're talking separation of powers issues here. Legislature makes the law, executive carries it out, court interprets it. If you go into court, the judicial branch, and you say, order the executive branch to do something, the judicial branch will not do that unless the legislative branch clearly spelled out in the law, this is her job. You can't imply
okay.
the job. All right? So
okay.
you can't say, well, she took an oath to uphold the Constitution, so that means she must have. No, 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 no. Apples and oranges. You can't impugn ministerial duties. And a ministerial duty is a duty which, by definition, is part of the job. It's not a discretionary function. It's not a function that person may or may not carry out. It's a ministerial function, meaning it's an intrinsic part of the job that must be done.
Okay, now I want to interject just a little
yep.
bit here, because this is where I feel in my own concern about this that we lost, you know, what can you say? You can't get somebody on a ministerial duty. So I know you faced that and started looking at other things.
Yes.
One of which was the memorandum of complaint. So how did you get there, and what is that about, and
okay.
where do we go from there?
Okay. Needless to say, at a certain point, I was absolutely exhausted.
Oh, like that.
And I started back to school. It was September. And at any rate. So lawyers were filing all kinds of lawsuits. And I knew they weren't going anywhere because the cause of action wasn't valid. They were bringing mandamus where I'd already looked at the laws, and there's no provision of any law that says anyone has to vet the candidate for constitutional qualification. So at any rate. So, and then people couldn't gain standing in federal court. So there were all these problems, and I thought of a way. I wasn't recommending that people should go into court, but since you're all going to court, here, I came up with a way that you can gain standing in federal court. And that's what the military complaint was about, all right? I had no intention of even drafting the complaint. I drafted a memo to explain how to do it, figuring the lawyers could do it. The lawyers who were getting paid or getting contributions or, you know, I'm a school teacher. And I don't get paid for writing the blog. So at any
rate. Yeah, let's not go there with those military complaints, because that's a whole nother thing, the different legal strategies. So let's
get
back to what you did.
And I hear you, but people might, I mean, it's on my website, people might know it's there, but that's not. In February, I said, you know what, enough of this. Let's get them for the fraud. Just file the fraud. Because all of these things that had happened during the primary, for example, the posting on Fight the Smears, right?
Mm-hmm.
That Kolb saying Annenberg Political Fact Check was independent and they'll verify me. Remember, last week we said this man, Barack Obama, bought a website. You could see right in the footer for that summer, paid for by Barack Obama. He paid for the website. He posted the document. He got his former employer to say it's real. And on that basis, I assumed, Nancy Pelosi signed the certification of nomination. And people kept saying, there must be more. And I'm getting to the point where I said, no, now we can file the fraud. They kept saying there must be more. And I said, why? When a man says to you, I know you have concerns about my qualifications, here's the proof I'm qualified, of course he's going to put up his best evidence. That's his best evidence. People thought I was crazy. When I drafted that unnamed document for the lawyers and I did the fact pattern, they said, well, just copy the other fact pattern. I said, no, I'm going to write my own. And I wrote the facts as they existed, that he posted a Kolb. You see what I'm saying? I did exactly what he did. I posted. In January of 2009, hubris got the better of Barack Obama and David Axelrod and Nancy Pelosi and Bob Bauer and everybody. Hubris got the better of them, because you know what they did? They did something really stupid. and I caught them. They confirmed my suspicions that the strongest evidence that's in the public domain that would establish Barack Obama is constitutionally qualified to be president is that Kolb and Annenberg. That's it. And how did they do that? Silly, silly, silly boys. In a footnote, in a motion to dismiss, they included certain language. They wanted the judge in the federal court to take judicial notice. Now, taking judicial notice means we all know that either this is absolutely true or it's easily verified as true. So don't make us go through all the hoops of establishing that it's valid evidence before we submit it into the record. It's kind of a shortcut to get evidence into the record. It still has to be considered to the whole case, but just to get it into the record. Okay?
So you're telling me this is in the Hollister case, I believe. It was a footnote.
Yep.
So you're telling us that even though Howard Dean selected Nancy Pelosi with all the gravitas to sign everything,
that's what I said on the
still
yep.
in a legal case. They still
yep.
in a legal case cite Annenberg
that's
instead of Pelosi.
And thank you for bringing that up. And people, if you haven't gone back and read the last since September, I think that one is in. Rumors, lies, and unsubstantiated facts. Yeah, because the strongest evidence Nancy Pelosi had in August when she signed those certifications was Annenberg and the Kolb online. But 5 months later, hello, when Barack Obama is the defendant in a federal lawsuit, what's the strongest evidence he has? Nancy Pelosi. Yep. That jumped out at me. Oh, yeah. And I knew I had them. I knew their hubris got the better of them. It's the one time I speculated, really speculated, and I said the reason that they wanted that in there so badly is if they had gotten judicial notice, and only those of us who know what it means know it doesn't mean that much, if they'd gotten that judicial notice, they would have run around the country saying, see, a federal court says he's for real. Drop it. You got it. They were gambling, and they lost the gamble. And I was scared to death. I remember telling you I was scared to death that the court would take judicial notice. I knew what they were going to do with it. Because if you read the language very carefully, what Obama's people were actually asking the court to take judicial notice of is that Barack Obama posted a document on the web that says he was born in Hawaii. It didn't say posted on the web. It said revealed publicly a certification of live birth that shows he was born in Hawaii. Well, yes, he did. But does that mean anything? No, of course not. It means he came up with a document that he posted online that says he was born in Hawaii. So what? Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
But the real absurd request came when they asked the court to take judicial notice that Annenberg had noted on their website that there had been a contemporaneous birth announcement, newspaper birth announcement. So they wanted the court to take judicial notice that he announced he produced a document showing he was born in Hawaii, and that Annenberg noted a contemporaneous newspaper birth announcement. You know what that contemporaneous birth announcement was? I tended not to look into any information about birth announcements.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, yeah, it came from Texas Darlin, actually. That's where it came from. It was posted by some anonymous poster on Texas Darlin, and then they picked it up and they used it.
Yes, but wait, but I didn't know that, you see?
Oh.
But what happened was somebody asked me the question about a birth announcement. And I thought, you know what, I have to look it up. I'll look it up before I answer you. And looking it up, I remembered, and this again jumped out at me, when Barack Obama is telling the American people, I know you have concerns about my qualifications, here's proof I'm for real. And he doesn't put up a birth announcement if he could have. That tells me there's no birth announcement. Do you understand?
Yes, I do.
So I didn't have to bother looking at anything. Why bother? If there's anything that exists that proves he is who he says he is, it's on his website. It wasn't there.
Okay.
I'm
sorry. I just wanted to reinforce this point and let this sink in as well. Obama never provided original documents, never produced them. The only thing he's produced is this Annenberg political fact check business.
And a reference in the federal court, a reference to these things.
A reference. That's right. In a footnote.
Not original documents. So when my reader asked me a question about the announcement, I said, well, I remember it's not on his website, obviously, because it's not real. But I thought I'd seen it on Annenberg Political Fact Check. So I went to their website. And the first thing I want to know is, where did they get this visual document? Because you know what it doesn't say? What newspaper it's from. Well, right away, I mean, of course this is bogus. Why anybody bothers to investigate these things, I didn't know, because there's no attribution. So I'm thinking, where did they get this? So I do the right click, and I end up on Texas Barreling. I'm thinking, well, I have too many windows open, and I'm all thumbs, and I must just press the wrong thing. So I go back, and the same thing happens. And
there
I end
it
up
is.
On and that's when, I started asking the questions, and it turns out that vision had appeared on Texas Darling several months earlier.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Posted by an anonymous poster. Annenberg Political Fact Check actually said on their website, this was posted on a pro-Clinton website by somebody who actually said, well, I guess this means he was born here. With no further investigation evidenced on their website, they said, so this proves he was born in the USA. I thought, whoa.
So here's the shocking thing to me.
Yeah.
Basically, he asked the federal court to take judicial notice of a computer screen and some anonymous, nondescript, whatevers.
Yep. And he didn't mention the name of the newspaper either. You got it.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, but it's amazing. It wasn't just the fact that he asked the court, the federal court, to take judicial notice of the Kolb, which is what he was talking about when he said he publicly produced. It wasn't just that he was asking the court to take judicial notice of a phantom image. And when I say phantom image, what I mean is not only was there no name of the publication, either on the Annenberg Political Fact Check site or in Barack Obama's footnote, but depending on your browser, if you clicked on it, the image could disappear. You'd have to refresh. So it was a phantom image, literally. You see, you kept losing it. It was hysterical. It was the funniest thing. And then I knew. Then I was absolutely certain, because it wasn't just those two. It was, he didn't use Nancy Pelosi. And why would you not use the Speaker of the House? I mean, it defies credulity. So then I said, we need to file complaints of election fraud, because in those states
against Pelosi.
You got against anyone who signed the certification of nomination.
Thank you.
Anyone who signed, and she didn't sign it in all 50 states, I'll have you know. I have a shocking announcement. No, it's not shocking. It's incredible. I have an important announcement, a development since last week. Just when you think that nothing else can happen, something really good happened, but I'll give that to you in a second. Nancy Pelosi signed the certifications in most states, But she didn't necessarily submit the certification to the Secretary of State. So I had to figure out who actually submitted the certification. That's the person I'm accusing of fraud. Okay? Let that person go back and say, well, I just believed what Nancy Pelosi told me. Too bad. You shouldn't have believed her. I'm going after state party chairs if I can. And it turns out that in Virginia and Georgia, Ms. Nancy Pelosi directly submitted the certification to the elections officials, so the suit went against her and Alice Germain, who's a co-signer.
And on those, pardon me for interrupting, on those certifications, it basically certifies that Obama meets the Article 2 eligibility requirements.
Well, then again, you see, there are all kinds of certifications. And I suppose it would have been easier just to make one huge certification that would have covered the individual state laws, but the Democrats didn't do that. Instead, they did kind of a generic certification of nomination where they said that Obama was duly nominated. Now, in a state that requires the candidate to be qualified, why could that constitute fraud, saying he's duly nominated? Here's why. The DNC rules say our nominees will be qualified for the job under the Constitution. Okay? So saying somebody who's duly nominated says he's qualified under the Constitution. Besides which, submitting the name of a candidate in a state that requires the candidate to be qualified is tantamount to wanting, yes, he's qualified. Do you see?
Yes.
So coming or going, in most states where you didn't have an explicit line that said, and he's constitutionally qualified, most states' certification merely said, duly nominated. And that is tantamount to saying he's constitutionally qualified for two reasons. Because your rules require the nominee to be constitutionally qualified, and because the state law says the candidate whose name is to appear on the ballot must be constitutionally or must be qualified for the job. Okay? So I said, on what basis could Nancy Pelosi in August of 2008 have ascertained that Barack Obama was qualified for this job before she signed the certification? She couldn't have, when the only evidence in existence was an online photocopied document and a corroboration by the guy's employer, who has no privity with us, meaning there's no legal relationship between us. They can say whatever they want to us, and we can't expect them to say anything less. You know, they can do whatever they want. It's not like the government saying something. They're just some people. So Nancy Pelosi couldn't have used anything more than that. So I was saying she perpetrated fraud because she swore he was qualified before ascertaining whether he was.
That's just stunning.
It's stunning. It's incredible, actually. And how
it
do we
really
know?
Is.
But how do we know that's the best evidence that exists? Because 5 months later, they're telling us that's the best evidence that exists. They're telling the federal court. And how do we know? Because a year later, they're still running ads on Google sending people to the Fight the Smears website, which has now since undergone many hand changes. The footers have changed several times since the summer of 2008 and have been bought and paid for by various organizations. But it's still there, and they're still telling people to go look at that cold. So it's still the best evidence they have. But I don't care, and I don't want to hear anybody talking about what Hawaiian officials said and how we can parse those words, because she signed that certification in August. I don't care what happened in September, October, or November. August she signed it. I don't care if he's qualified. But she didn't know that. The point is she signed a certification before ascertaining whether he was qualified. That's fraud. That is criminal election fraud. Case closed. Prove me wrong.
Now, definitely I'm not going to prove you wrong, girl.
No,
I get you.
And people say, well, why can't we go after Obama for fraud? That's a different story. If you went after him for fraud, he knows whether he's natural born. You see? So you have to prove that he lied. Do you get what I mean?
Very difficult to do. But this way you get them in an indirect way,
yep.
essentially
Same
going
difference.
Through Pelosi for the fraud. Now, just a couple things, and then I'd like to ask you to just really kind of like do the whole summary and wrap up. And just for listeners and JB, JD, I've asked you if you wanted to do this, but we really would like to make this available to questions of whether we get to that today or next week. I think JB, JD is committed to answering some questions and stuff like that. But one thing before we go there and get into, you know, summaries and so forth,
yep.
Tell me about the request made to the DNC legal counsel, what
okay.
the response was, and what that clued you into.
Okay. And this is great. And this takes me into what I'm going to tell you about Texas. Is there any way of knowing if we have people from Texas here? I don't know.
Yeah, I can take a look.
Okay.
But go ahead.
All right. All throughout this process, information is jumping out at me, okay? But it doesn't mean I can do something with it at the time. So, for example, when I saw that Hawaiian certification, I asked somebody to write a letter to Nancy Pelosi, which I had hand-delivered, and ask her on what basis did she confirm that he's constitutionally qualified for the job. This is like December of 2008, I think, or January 2009. She never responded, okay? Then there were other people who asked her. She ignored them. So some people asked Alice Germond. And what they did inadvertently is they were treating the DNC like it was a public agency. So they asked, they did Freedom of Information Act requests. Can you please give us the documentation on which you based a determination that Barack Obama is constitutionally qualified for the job? And I must say, the general counsel at the time was Joseph Sandler. And in some instances, Attorney Sandler is the one who submitted Nancy Pelosi's signed certification to the state election officials. In those cases, I went after him, and that led me to Howard Dean, because the lawyer works for the corporation, so you sue the president. So I got Howard Dean and the lawyer. Don't you love that? I love that one. But anyway, so people wrote to Alice Germond with Freedom of Information Act requests, and she funneled her request to Joseph Sandler. And he wrote back to people. You know what he said? God, the hubris of these people. He said, look, for all of these reasons, I don't have to disclose information under the Freedom of Information Act. And here are some other ways you might obtain information. See, he wrote all of this stuff, but didn't bother to answer the stupid question. Okay?
So he sent people, other people off to go look for this stuff.
You got it.
And
but
so
really,
that clued you in, essentially, that was just another confirmation that, only thing Pelosi has is that picture of a computer screen.
Then you went
into those complaints.
Yes. When I wrote the complaints, all of this information that I thought would go to show that Nancy Pelosi, or whoever the named person was, cannot have ascertained whether this man is an NBC or whatever it was before certifying he was. So those were the 5 points in the complaint. Number one is, this is our state law. Number two, this is the DNC rules, whatever, whatever. Right? Number three, this person cannot have ascertained whether Barack Obama was constitutionally qualified for the job before signing this certification on such and such a date. Do you see? It was all spelled out, because we know on this date all they had was the cold, and we know on this date all they had was the phantom image, and we know when it came to a federal court they said that's all we have, and a year later they said that's all we have. Do you see? And
yes, and
And I included what Joseph said. I said, and it's not as if people haven't tried to get the information. They've written to Sandler, and this is what we get. So then I used all those things that would tend to show the state attorney general that this is a fraud. And I made clear to say this complaint takes no issue on whether the man is constitutionally qualified for the job. It has nothing to do with the issue. This is about election fraud in certifying qualification without ascertaining such. And it ends by saying, look, if our state law is to mean anything more than form over function, we need to find out on what basis these certifications were made. The law says you have to be qualified. We didn't make a law that said anyone's going to check, but certainly we must presume that when they hand in the name to go on our ballots, they're certifying they checked. Oh, yeah. So those are the complaints of fraud that include the phantom image and all this other stuff to show an attorney general who will know better. I wanted the attorney general, who might or might not do something, to know we're on to you, though. If you choose not to do something, don't treat us like we're stupid, because we're not. We know what you did. So those are the...
So can you tell me, I know you have written now, drafted several model complaints, and unfortunately we only have, maybe... 20 minutes left at the most.
Well, I want to quickly, did we find anybody from Texas?
Actually, I can't tell from Texas. It's either United States or some other country, so I can't,
well, you know
I
what?
Can't tell.
But
the show is a podcast, so just,
yes, and
go
people,
for it in terms
and
of Texas.
People have been downloading. I want to tell people in Texas something. This is very important.
Okay.
Texas has laws that are very different from the rest of the states I've looked at. And I just found this out because I was just double-checking that they are not a vote-binding state, which I didn't think they were, and I was just double-checking. I found in Texas, in a lot of ways, the state Democratic Party can be treated like a state agency when it comes to certain things. For example, mandamus. I said before, mandamus is that cause of action that says if somebody has a duty to do something, you can get the courts to make that person do it, all right? If the state party has any rules that they have enacted to comply with the state of Texas laws, then those functions are compellable under mandamus. So, for example, if the state of Texas has a law that says the heads of the state party must certify that somebody is qualified for the job, whatever, I'm just saying that, all right, then you could actually go into court and compel Boyd Ritchie, who's the state party chair, to say how he certified that somebody was eligible. And guess what? Guess who signed the certifications in Texas? Boyd Ritchie, the state party chair. But there's one more, and it gets better. And this is what people can do, short of going into court. It gets better. So Boyd Ritchie submitted, and it's in the Texas complaint online, submitted two letters to the Texas election officials to get Barack Obama's name on the ballot.
Two letters?
You got it. And you're going to love this one, though. People in Texas... You should be picketing your state house, honest to God. If they don't get these people for fraud, and all you need is one state, right? Here's what Boyd Ritchie did. However he did this, I don't know. One letter is clearly from the Texas State Democratic Party, right? The little letter says, here's the certification, da-da-da, Barack Obama was nominated, da-da. The other is the actual certification. And guess what it looks like? Exactly like, except for the letterhead and the signature. Nancy Pelosi's DNC official certification of nomination.
Oh, my God.
Wait. So it's exactly the same. It's centered the same. It's even the notary public from Colorado. Got it? certify his signature with the Democratic State Party letterhead on that certification. So Nancy Pelosi's letterhead is official DNC certification of nomination. And Boyd Ritchie's is Texas Democratic State Party. Do you love it?
So he basically Xeroxed the thing with the notary from Colorado and put it in Texas.
I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to speculate since you don't do that. He put his own letterhead on the Xerox thing he got out of Colorado.
Do you love it? Now I'll tell you what else is a law in Texas. This is too good. Freedom of Information Act applies to the political party when it comes to keeping records required by the state.
Oh.
Let me say that again.
Someone needs to get on it right there in Texas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very, very good. This is brilliant. Now, I'm just doing my whole show thing, so
do whatever you need to do.
We've got 15 minutes left. Like I said, I'm hoping you'll come back for another show to answer questions and to have another dialogue. But let's have you kind of sum up what you'd like to sum up, about the next 10 minutes or so. And then tell us where you'd like to take us from there and what's next.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you right now where I'd like to take it. If more people don't look up the laws in their states and file these complaints, then why would anybody listen? And if you can't get your present government, state government, to listen, when you already have state laws that are supposed to prevent this from happening, what difference does it make that you change state laws or elect different people into those positions? Do you see?
Yes. Now, just a side question on that, because, I've asked you this before, but I know there are probably the same questions out there, which is statute of limitations. Does it apply at all?
Not yet. Nope. It's not a civil fraud. It's a criminal fraud.
Criminal fraud. Okay. So basically, is it X number of years after you found the criminal fraud, or basically it doesn't have a statute of limitations? Hello? Sorry, folks. I'm sure she's going to call back in, but for some reason she got knocked off the line there. There she is.
So, no, we haven't...
Barry, we're just looking for you. Sorry about that. It wasn't me, I swear.
What?
You were just knocked off the line for a while. I couldn't hear you.
Yes. No, I had to call back. I don't know what happened. It doesn't matter.
Okay. So basically I was asking you about... statute of limitations, and there's no statute of limitations on a criminal issue, or...
Well, you're not close yet.
Okay, very good. That's all I need to know.
Okay. In a lot of people, for example, in Texas, all together for the first round of complaints, which were not as good as the second round, I must say, I rewrote, which is why I took them off the website until recently. I posted brand new complaints for all of the states I'd already done, plus I added Maryland. 50 people had filed in Texas. Over 100 people filed in all of the states, okay? But we need thousands. So, they're free. They're downloadable. You just have to fill in your name and your address. They can't ignore thousands. They obviously can ignore dozens. And theoretically, attorneys general could be investigating, and it won't go public until they bring charges. But I don't trust that. I don't trust that at all, at any rate.
You don't trust that they will bring charges, or you don't trust that they're actually doing something that...
I don't trust they're actually doing something, yeah. I
okay.
think they would have made much clearer that they were doing something. So my bottom line is, yes, people screwed this nomination. Absolutely. They took advantage of people. Absolutely. There aren't that many ways you can redress that, but this is a way you can redress it. because what these people have done is they have usurped your electoral process, your election process, through the primaries, through the general election, through the electoral college. They've usurped it. Now, what I had hoped would happen is, with enough states looking into these charges, remember, and this is another one of those facts that came out during the process that I knew I could use at some point. Several members of Congress told their constituents in writing before ratifying the Electoral College vote that they were comfortable ratifying that vote, notwithstanding people's concerns about Barack Obama's qualifications, because Annenberg Political Fact Check assured everybody he's legit. A lot of members of Congress listed that as their only reason. So if one attorney general from one state decides to investigate or bring charges, then everybody goes back to Congress and says, guess what? Now we've knocked out that reason. Now on what basis did you ratify a vote for this guy? You see?
Mm-hmm.
With the numbers, hopefully, that's when you get Congress to revisit this, and the investigation is officially the article. You have to introduce the articles of impeachment to investigate whether the man sitting in the White House is constitutionally qualified for the job.
That's the leap that I don't exactly get right to impeachment, because I can see Pelosi being brought up on charges of fraud. I can see where it gets there, because then what? Then when the fraud charges get out, essentially, then everyone's going to know we don't. That's right. I get it.
Well, because
sorry
the
about
complaint.
That. Go
no,
ahead.
No, it's Kate. You see how much stuff there is here. For
goodness'
sake, yeah. It's so much. Trying to condense enough to put into a complaint that would mean something. The first time I condensed too much. I didn't explain enough. The second complaint completely explains the phantom image, for example. It says, if this is the best he has in January of 2009, what did Nancy Pelosi have in August 2008? You see what I mean? I made the leaps for the Attorney General. No, the point I'm making is that the phantom announcement is from Annenberg. It's on their website. The confirmation that he's real is from Annenberg. That's in the complaint. If an attorney general buys the complaint, she or he is saying, effectively, Annenberg is incredible. Do you see? Because it's
yep.
all based on, they're the only ones that said he was credible. So finding fraud means Nancy Pelosi should not have based her certification on the word of Annenberg, in which case I don't expect the Congress to have done that either. But they explicitly said that's the one. And I only cited the letters on my website of the people who cited only Annenberg. Gotcha. So if you cited only Annenberg and we just knocked them out, now why did you ratify a vote for somebody we told you was maybe not qualified? And the only way to do an investigation is to introduce articles of impeachment. That's not impeaching. That's just to formally introduce. That's the process for formally introducing the investigation.
Or I was just going to say a special prosecutor or something to investigate this whole thing.
Well, you know what? And that's the easiest part, because that's once
yeah,
you've
that's,
gotten to
that's
that point.
Years of studies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
JVJD, we have like 7 minutes left.
I can't believe
I'd like to have I know it goes so fast. I'm still on the edge of my chair, I'm telling you. So there must be other things that we must find out from you. So let me first make the invitation and extension for you to come back next week. I will be at the Continental Congress, but I do believe I will be able to break away for a show, but I will let you know. And then secondly, just ask you to take the next 3 minutes or so and just sum
okay.
up and go from there, and then I'll
okay.
play some music and let you go.
All right. And
thank
people,
you.
Okay. And if people have questions, I feel bad because I'm not answering people's questions.
Well, you know what? This is everyone is listening to you. This has not been an active chat room, and we've just been posting, you know, some of your
okay.
articles and stuff like that. So people are listening, and this is just fine. That's why I'm inviting you back
okay.
Once this information sinks in.
All right, so let me sum this up. I believe that the fix was in to elect Barack Obama by hook or by crook. I believe it started in place with the delegate allocation in the states, which how many delegates get onto, how many delegates are allocated to which districts, so that when you vote in the primaries, you get to choose this number of delegates. Okay. They chose Nancy Pelosi to be the chair of the 2008 DNC convention. This was all planned, and they rigged the caucuses. That should have ended Hillary Clinton's run at the nomination. It didn't. So they upped the ante. They, meaning Howard Dean, Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, they upped the ante. Now they get out this mem that she's lost anyway. And they're very cruel to her. She still is in the race. He still hasn't nailed the nomination. They upped the ante, as if caucus fraud wasn't enough. So now they steal pledged delegates from her at the Rules and Bylaws Committee meeting. That's still not enough. Her popular vote is greater than his. Now what? They go after the pledged delegates in vote-binding states. And that still isn't enough. They won't switch. Word gets out that they're being harassed. So now how do they get him the nomination? They don't hold a floor roll call vote. They were determined he was going to win by hook or by crook. And they had to increase the crook the longer Hillary Clinton wouldn't drop out. Now, how to get them for what they did is tricky, because most of what they did wasn't illegal. But getting them on the ballot was criminal fraud, because you swore somebody was certified for getting onto the ballot in states that require the candidate to be qualified, and you hadn't ascertained whether he was constitutionally qualified for the job. And I think I can prove that. I don't have to prove it. I made a very strong allegation. So we can use our laws to get them. And we can use Texas laws to obtain some of the documentation we need to get them, too. Interesting.
Duh.
Okay? I should write more about that on my blog, because this is a recent find, as you know.
Yes, I know, and I think this is fabulous. And, you know, if you had given me those 4, 5, 6 points that you just did right now without talking about what you had done, I wouldn't have gotten it at all. And so
I know.
What I can tell you is I want more. I want to thank you so much for sharing your information with us. I'm just going to just delve into your site and do some more reading, but this is fabulous stuff. I think all of us want you to come back. And is there any final comment you'd like to make
check the laws in your state,
or homework you'd like to send us off?
Well, but it is. You should know what the laws are in your state. See if your state requires the candidate to be qualified to get onto the ballot. And if you don't know, you're paying a Secretary of State to oversee your elections. Check with your Secretary of State. Or
very
if you have
good.
A Board of Election, check with the board. You're paying these people. Make them do their work. No offense.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you. I'm going to play some music now. JB, JD, you are
you're
great.
Very welcome.
Blessings to you. Thank you, everyone, for coming tonight.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you.
You're welcome.
To stay on, JB, JD, and listen to the music.
I'm going to get off and look some things up.
Thanks.
lay your body down. Find the cost of freedom buried in the ground.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. Being wrong, nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds, are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. A field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and a carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid.